Everyone, welcome to the Horse Business Podcast. Today, I am so honored to have Michael DeLuna as our guest. Michael is the owner and CEO of DeLuna Equine Services. DeLuna Equine Services is a full-service equestrian business specializing in laser therapy, Olympic-level horse grooming, and horse training, sales, and purchase consultations. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we just wanted to learn a little bit more about you and your company, and how do you first become interested in horses? Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I'm from California, grew up in California. My mom is a rider, so I was kind of born into it. As soon as she could get back in the saddle after having me, she was. So I spent a lot of time in the stroller by the ring and stuff and sitting at the barn. And her best friend actually is Leslie Morris. And Leslie rode for the U.S. team in the early 2000s. And so as a kid, I had a lot of opportunities to see dressage at the highest level all around the world. And for me, it was really something that kind of lit my world on fire as far as the high-performance dressage. And, you know, ever since then, I just kind of stuck with it. It was, you know, I'd get picked up out of school middle of the week with my mom. We'd go down to a show in Los Angeles or Sacramento, and I'd groom for her. And then when Leslie was competing for, you know, the World Cup or Aachen, we'd fly and go do that.
Nice.
So for me, you know, dressage has kind of been my life since day one. You know, horse sports in general. And to be able to see it at the level that I was able to see it at such a young age was really something that kind of set me on this path to be where I am now.
Nice. Did you have siblings growing up?
Yeah, so I'm actually the oldest of five.
Okay.
So I'm the oldest of five, the only one that's in horses.
Oh, wow.
We're all very different in our professions, but very similar in character and the way we are, as much as we don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was the only one in horses, and my dad's not a horse guy. He's a car guy. He and my grandfather, and actually my little brother Danny, they collect vintage cars and work on vintage cars. So, you know, for me, growing up, to have my mom was really, really, really influential and kind of put me in the right places at the right time to set me on this path in horse sport.
So what inspired you to create DeLuna Equine Services, and what type of services do you offer?
So I grew up, you know, kind of being, we call it now, I'd look back at it, it's kind of funny, but I was, when we were traveling with Leslie, or I was traveling with my mom, I worked very closely with her grooms. And I thought to myself, this is, you know, I like riding, but I was always kind of a scared rider as a kid. You know, I really didn't.
Competitive.
Yeah. You know, I just, I could tell you how to make a horse pee off, but I wasn't going to get on and do it myself.
Right.
So I thought, wow, you know, I'm watching these grooms, like, you know, when I was a kid, it was Ruben Palermo was Debbie McDonald's groom. He was incredible. And I watched this guy and I thought, you know, Debbie's an excellent rider and she has an excellent horse, but without Ruben, her world would crumble. So I thought, that's what I really want to do, is I want to be the guy that's basically polishing your boots
right
at the World Games, at Aachen, at the Olympics. So when I got done with college, I kind of didn't know what I really wanted to do. I knew that I would get into the horses at some point. But my parents kind of gave me a push and they said, you know, you're good at the horses. You care about the horses. You should go to Europe. We'll help you out. So at that time, I had met majority of the big time top 20 riders in the world. So I went home, wrote an email to every single one of them, and had a friend in California, Anka Herbert. She's German born. And she connected me with Jennifer and Jürgen Hoffmann. I went to Germany, worked for them for about 2 years, kind of really refined my skills. And it really gave me the chance to kind of make it or break it, you know, decide if I'm going to be a professional in this, you know, industry, or, you know, what am I going to do? So I groomed for Jennifer. We traveled all throughout Europe and kind of went on this run to try and qualify for the Rio Olympics. And then after that, I kind of looked at it and I was like, kind of burnt out a little bit, you know, too much. So I went back home, sat around for 4 months, and I had another friend of mine, a guy who I had met when I was an 8-year-old kid, Tom Myers. he called me and said, hey, I got this grooming job for you in Wellington. You know, it's a couple weeks. What do you want to do? And I said, I'll come down. So I came down, and he got me this job with Lauren Asher, who was a young rider at the time. Ended up being a medalist at the Young Riders that year, and that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I just kind of stayed in Wellington and kind of putzed around and worked for a lot of different people. And, you know, my plan was always to stay in horses, but I didn't want to have the grueling day-to-day of a groom. And it's not that I didn't want to work hard, but I just felt limited. I had all these skills, but I didn't know how to get them to multiple people. So when I decided to go out on my own and create Deluna Equine Services, it was with my clients in mind, my friends in mind. How can I offer them my different skill set that is very vast? And how can I touch as many people as I, you know, want? And how do I get to all these different kind of riders and these different kind of horsemen and women, and try and help them and be a little piece of their team so that, you know, I don't have one rider at the Olympics, I have seven riders at the Olympics. And that was kind of my goal in creating Deluna Equine Services, how I can help as many riders as possible.
When did you get started? How long ago?
So I kind of started, I want to say back in 2018, with the lasers. I started working for Response Systems, and that was kind of my side gig. I'd sell the products, I work on the horses after I would groom all day. And then really in 2020, I was working for Danielle Gallagher, and she's a Canadian rider. And I kind of said to Danielle before I even took the job, I said, Danielle, you know, I have this small laser business. I need to be able to continue this. And I also need, which is kind of rare in grooming, I need a W-2 job because I want to buy a house. So she was like, okay, we can do both. No problem. And she was the one who introduced me to Ashley Holzer. And that really, that catapulted the business. So when I met Ashley, I met all of her clients. They all started using the laser. And then really when the laser business, you know, I'd groom from 7 to 4, and then from 4:30 to almost 11 during season, I would be lasering horses. So when the laser business was getting busier than the grooming business, it was time for me to switch. So around 2020, I started Deluna Equine Services.
Okay.
And, you know, I kind of would add pieces every year. So, you know, we do lasers, we do braiding, we can groom for you at the show. I'm on a couple lists to go to the Olympics with riders as their groom. You know, and now adding my wife Bianca into the picture with the training and the sales of the horses and all that different kind of stuff, we've been able to develop and add a new service or product every single year since we started.
Right.
Yeah.
You still do the laser therapy, right?
Absolutely. So, that's still my bread and butter. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how does that benefit the horses? In what situation would you recommend this laser treatment? Or?
Yeah. So for the laser therapy, yeah. I mean, I would recommend it to somebody as little as 1 day a week or as much as 7 days a week. It depends on the laser.
Right.
I operate both a Class 3 cold laser and a Class 4 hot laser. And basically what they do is we draw blood to an area with the laser so that we can relieve inflammation and in the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments and all that stuff to promote healing and regeneration within the cell capsules.
Okay.
So I like to tell my clients, you know, I like to get ahead of the soreness. So when you have a horse that is working hard or they're at a show and they're going to, you know, especially at the shows when they don't have turnout and they're not out 6 times a day, I like to recommend the laser to them during that entire show. That way they're fresh every single day. And then, you know, I have clients that have horses with, you know, suspensory injuries or, you know, surgical incisions from colic surgeries and stuff like that. It does everything. Summer sores, wounds. They're very, very diverse in their ability to heal the horses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great that this type of therapy works so well for the horses.
Absolutely.
So I know you mentioned something about the trainer.
Yeah.
That's your wife. So as her as a trainer, what aspects does she prioritize in the philosophy of training, and how do you tailor this approach to each horse and unique needs?
Yeah, so, you know, the thing that I love most about Bianca as a professional is that every horse that comes into our program is treated as if it were our own horse. So for us, it's not only about protecting the client's investment in this animal, but it's creating a happy horse that loves to work every day. They have a program every week. Bianca's very good about not staying in one arena every day. So for example, I'll give you an example, like our four-year-old that's here, she lunges one day, she free lunges another day, she goes and gallops on the track, she's in the ring maybe 3 days a week, and then the rest is all about how can we create situations that build her confidence to go into, you know, competition atmospheres. And we recently just took her out last weekend, actually, to her first show, and it pays off. I mean, I could not be happier with this horse. We didn't go to school the day before. She got off the truck, walked right into the ring, got on, and went to work. And that kind of approach to the horses that, you know, really keeps them fresh in the mind also allows them to have confidence in new situations. And right. I think that's what's so great about what Bianca does.
So you're also into horse sales,
yeah,
and purchase and consultation about that.
Yeah.
So what are some key factors that equestrians should consider, and how do you guide them through this process?
So when it comes to whether a client sends us a horse to be sold, or we are looking for a horse, whether it's in America or in Europe, we have a lot of connections in Europe. My wife's Austrian.
Okay.
And I spent a fair amount of time in Europe as well. The number one thing for us is we want a horse that's sound of body and sound of mind. And, you know, the second thing definitely is, you know, I tell these clients, just because you have the money to buy a Totalis or a Velegro doesn't mean you have the ability to ride a Totalis or a Velegro.
Right.
So we try to guide them on realistic expectations as far as what is going to be the most fun for them. We want clients to come back and say, this horse is so great for me. It might not be Totalis, but it's still a good horse. And they're out showing every weekend, or they're out hacking on the road. The horse, you know, their vet bills are very limited. So that's, you know, we try to make that happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked out so far. You know, it's not exactly the bread and butter of our business right now. I would say the lasers and the training for sure is. But when we do sell a horse, we are very meticulous about the horses that we present to our clients. And we try to always keep open conversation with our clients through every step of the way.
Nice. Yeah, that's great too. Open communication.
Absolutely.
So what challenges have you faced in the equestrian industry, and how does your business have overcome those challenges?
So, you know, I've been pretty lucky. I got to say, I haven't had many challenges, but I'm struggling with two right now for sure. One is that the laser business, because I'm so involved with the different owners and different veterinarians within town, they have a lot of different clients. So I come from a dressage background that has allowed me to expand very quickly in the dressage, but I also have worked with a lot of great vets over the last couple of years that have jumper clients. So for me, it took me about, 3 years to really break into that jumper market.
Okay.
And you know, I tell people all the time, I watch jumpers and it's like watching a film in Chinese. I just, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I know horses.
Right.
So I know that a horse is using, you know, using XYZ muscle or part of their body when they jump. So I can kind of, you know, as the more I see and the more I watch these horses and the more I talk to the rider and the owner and the vet, you know, I can grasp more each time. It's always, for me, I always want to be learning about how I can serve my clients better. So breaking into the jumpers was definitely a big challenge. Luckily, we've kind of overcome that. I have now servicing anywhere between 7 to 10 jumpers a week.
Nice.
So that's been really great to kind of expand the business in that direction. And then, you know, I would say the only other thing that I'm really struggling with right now, which is good and bad. So with the laser therapy, the lasers are allowed in the CDI barns as long as you are a vet or a permitted equine therapist. So I've been trying to get my PET for years now. And I've been in a lot of constant contact with the National Federation and how I can go about doing that, because I learned how to do the lasers as an apprentice through my friend Tom Myers. He does Stephen Peters horses. He has for almost 30 years now. And he really taught me the ins and outs, and he got me into the laser business. And so for the U.S. Federation, that wasn't an adequate form of education. So like this year, I went back and I took about 5 or 6 courses this summer to try and do that. And my application's still in, so I'm still waiting. You know, I think once the U.S. Federation passes this form and says I'm now, you know, qualified to do this, the FBI will stamp it in 2 seconds, which is kind of my worry. But being that I am working on so many different horses from different countries that are trying to go to the Olympics this year, I need to be available to my clients
in the barns,
wherever they are in the world. And so that's kind of where I'm at a standstill at this point. Once that gets approved, I think the business will continue to grow and flourish. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of competition locally?
So I'm pretty lucky that way. As far as I know, I am really the only one that is doing laser therapy, at least with the Response Systems lasers, in town. So that's nice. There are a lot of different therapy products. You know, there's the MagnaWave, which isn't an FEI legal product. That separates us from them, which is great. A lot of different magnetic blanket sales and all that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, I think what kind of separates me from those people, and I've always tried to make it my goal to kind of put myself a standalone, is my customer service. You know, I think that really has been my number one priority throughout this whole journey, is to be available for my clients when they need me. And whether or not, you know, I make a millimeter of a difference or 10 miles of a difference, I think having them know that I'm available to them when they need me gives them a lot of confidence to go out and perform and do their job at the highest level.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So can you share some success stories of, or experiences that you have had while working with horses through your services?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to say, I mean, it's been a whirlwind since the Tokyo Olympics. I had 3 riders go to the Tokyo Olympics. That was incredible. That was kind of my I'm here now moment.
Right.
To see them go.
Were you there with them?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately, because of the PET. And COVID. It was a very limited credential kind of thing. But to watch them on TV at 3 in the morning was incredible. Since then, I've had a rider in the World Cup. I had 5 riders at the Pan American Games this past summer.
Oh, nice.
And I'm hoping between dressage and jumping, I will have about 7 riders at the Olympics in Paris this year.
Oh, wow.
And so for me,
if you get the accreditation, will you go with them?
If I'm allowed to, yeah.
Nice.
I would love to. And I think that would be an experience of a lifetime.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I've been able to groom for Leslie. I traveled around with Leslie. I've been to every major championship in dressage except for the Olympics. So for me, that's my angle.
Right.
I really need to get there, say I've done it, experience that. And, you know, for me, I love the lasering. I love the horses, but I really love horse sport at the highest level. And that's always been my drive. You know, I spent hours and hours at different rings around the world as a little kid watching all these different riders and how they attain their goals and prep their horses and get everything ready to, you know, be in the articles that everybody else is reading about around the world.
Nice.
Yeah. So hopefully this year we'll have about 7 in the Olympics. And, you know, if this PET goes through, then I'll be able to go with them.
With them.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Because this year is in Paris, but then the next 4 years will be
in LA. Yeah. So that would be great for me being a California kid. I think it would be awesome to be back in California for the Olympics. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It'll be super great. So how do you stay updated with the latest advancements in equestrian care and training techniques to ensure that your services are at forefront of the industry?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I seek knowledge as far as the horses. I kind of pride myself in, not in a cocky or arrogant way, but I like to know more than everybody else.
Right.
And for me, horses has always been my interest, you know, so I sit and I watch, I read a lot, you know, and then I've been lucky enough over the last couple of years to work with some really great veterinarians, really great riders and trainers. And, you know, they're always looking for the next big thing that's going to help their horses. So for me, I'm the same way. And I, you know, between here and Europe and even South America, what everybody else is doing, I want to know about. I want to know what it does for the horse. I want to know what it does for the rider. I want to know, you know, what the sustainability of this product is and how it's going to kind of change the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try to be a student of all of that and just know that I have enough knowledge to then serve my clients better.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And that's part of that customer service.
Exactly.
Make sure, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, it's just so important to have the answers. And, you know, the thing about what I do and what I did as a groom, I want my riders to only have to worry about riding. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to think that they, you know, have to manage the horse and the care of the horse and what the vet is doing. I want to be able to provide that kind of service to where they don't have to worry that the horse is going to be braided or the horse is going to be lasered, because I already looked up their time. I've already planned it in my day. I'm there. It's done. I tell them it's done. And they're like, wow, that's great. You know, so for me, to be able to provide as much as possible to my clients through everything I've learned, what I continue to learn,
right.
It's super important to me.
Nice. So you're still doing those grooming services yourself?
Yes.
You have some people? Have you trained
more? Yeah. So I kind of, right now, I mean, the laser business is very busy. So I do offer it as far as on a day fee kind of basis.
Okay.
And whoever needs me, if I can make it work. But right now, I mean, the lasers are just
keeping you.
Yeah, they're keeping me crazy. I'm doing about 10 to 12 horses a day.
Wow.
So, you know, for major competitions, yes. I have trained a few people, and minimal stuff. You know, I don't like to give the whole playbook out for free.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, as far as the braiding and stuff like that, I mean, I kind of added braiding as a service. It was almost a joke, you know, just to see if anybody would do it. And I have a lot of clients that braid, like, well, there's one right there in the ring. And the cool thing about it is for me, like, I was gone for week 5 and I had Bianca fill in for me, you know, and it's all that kind of stuff. I try to make it work for everybody. So yes, I do still offer the grooming services. And like I said, I'm on a couple lists this year to go to the Paris Olympics with a few riders.
Nice.
So hopefully that works out. But yeah, you know.
So for grooming, you really don't need that certification.
Right? No. As a groom, you just go. You go with your rider and you're credentialed through that. And there's a long process on the internet and you got to give them a lot of pictures and stuff. But yes, you can just go as a groom. But if you're not a PET, you can't use these modalities and thing. And so it would be strictly as a groom. You know, I like rules. So I play within the rules.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So in your experience, what qualities make a successful, like, harmonious partnership between the rider and the horse?
I think it really has to be a mutual respect, you know, and the rider, as much as everybody looks at the rider as an athlete, the riders and the trainers and the grooms, they all have to look at the horse as that athlete.
Right.
You know, I think I break down successful partnerships into 3 parts, really. I would say it's about 70% your groom, 20% your rider, and 10% your trainer. But you have to, the other 100% of it is your horse. And you got to make sure that they are ready to go. They're peaking at the right time. They're sound in their mind and body. And they're happy to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of situations. I mean, I look at, you know, I always go back to Aachen just because I think it's the best thing I've ever done. But you go into the Deutsche Bank Stadium, there's 60,000 people right on top of you.
Wow.
You got to know that that horse is going to go across a diagonal and do its job.
Right.
You know, and without that mutual respect from the rider and the team around this horse, knowing that this is an athlete that we need to perform, you're not going to have that. And I think we see that a lot today with, you know, different riders where they kind of make it about them and not so much about the horse. And that's not fair. And I think the results speak for themselves.
Right.
So I think fairness and a mutual respect for the horse, and also the horse for the rider. You know, we give them, at least my horses, have a great life. They have a great life. So, you know, I don't believe it's too much to ask them to do this for us.
Yeah.
Because we do everything we can to help them do it for us.
Right.
So as long as that kind of mutual respect is there, I think a partnership is always achievable.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's all about the horses.
Exactly.
How long have you been in this facility?
So we've been at Ida Farms for about 2 years now. We started here. I had a lot of clients for the lasers here.
Oh, okay. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Here.
So my friend Lauren, her family owns the facility. My buddy Santi Bursons, his parents founded this facility. So Santi kind of hooked me up with a few of his clients. And then when it was time for us to bring in horses and stuff like that, it was kind of a no-brainer for us. And we started that about a year ago with one sales horse. And it was a cute pony. We sold him to Louisiana. He's having a great life.
Nice.
Now we have our four-year-old here. Bianca's mare will land in America on Sunday. And she'll move here in 2 weeks after quarantine. And then, we're just brick by brick kind of building.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really want a huge operation. You know, we're kind of, I like the saying, I'd rather have 4 over 40 than 40 over four.
Mm.
You know, I think when you have too much quantity, the quality is lost.
Right.
So for Bianca to give each horse her all every day.
Right.
I think 5 is a sweet number for us, you know, 5 plus her own horse. And then, you know, to be able to create a team of clients and, you know, grooms and stuff like that, that are all supportive of each other and want the common goal and the good atmosphere in the barn. You know, we just keep it small.
Keep it fun. Yeah, that's part of that, that approach to build that and maintain that relationship with clients.
Exactly. And that's everything. I mean, you know, there's a lot of clients that I have and that Bianca has as well that, you know, are here for season, and that's great. But the ones that stay 5, 10, 15 years down the road, those are the ones that we're looking for. You know, because at the end of the day, we're young. We're not stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can really build that relationship that has a lot of trust in it and a lot of open communication and you know, a common goal for the horse.
Right.
And I think that's the most important.
So you're here year-round,
yes.
Right? Or you travel?
No, so I travel a little bit.
To the shows?
Yeah, to the shows. So I go back and forth to California a little bit.
Oh,
I have a few clients out there. And then as of lately, I mean, it looks like I'll be back and forth.
Here.
Yeah, well, I'll be here, but back and forth to Boston a little bit this summer.
Oh, Boston.
A few clients there. Right. And then Pennsylvania for my jumpers. So,
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a little bit hard, and I've kind of become in more demand over the last couple of years. And so, you know, like I said, customer service is number one. So if they need me to travel, I'll travel. And, you know, I think it keeps it fun, gets us out of the heat for a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We try.
Changing scenery for sure.
Exactly.
So what are there any specific trends or innovations in the equestrian industry that you would find particularly exciting and promising for the future?
So this is where I struggle a little bit. I think the industry is getting, especially in dressage, a lot of new young blood every year.
Mm.
And they're these really talented riders. And there's a difference between a rider and a full-blown horseman. So I love that we have new, young, almost kids competing at such a high level so fast every year, bringing a lot of, you know, fresh blood, fresh money, different sponsorships to the sport. I think that's fantastic. I think it's a double-edged sword, though. As much as I love that, and I love that it's not the same 6 people trying for the team every year, I also kind of miss the days where, you know, it wasn't that easy. You know, when I was growing up, if you were on a team before you were 30, you must have been a phenom. You probably have, you know, you would hope that they have won every gold medal since. But the thing is that those people put in the hours and worked hard and, you know, failed. And they've had enough experience and enough time in this industry to fail, to try new things, to rework their system, and over that time become really good horsemen that could then teach the next generation. And now it's become this trend of young riders that come in, they have grooms, they have full staff, they don't know what they're doing when it comes to the horse. And I think that's kind of become glorified, and I don't necessarily love that, because I'm somebody who learned from the ground up. Now I'm young. I mean, I started at 5, and you know, I've worked my way up for the last 25 years, and you know, that's fine. But a lot of the kids my age now are really good riders doing really big things that don't know the mane from the tail, you know, and that for me is...
It's too fast.
It's too fast. You got to pay your dues a little bit, and it's great that you have these opportunities and that you are doing that for our sport. We love it. But I think as a nation, as a whole U.S. equestrian community, we need to present better education opportunities for these young professionals to hone their skills out of the saddle, to become good professionals that can run a 10-horse barn, that can, you know, see a horse that's colicking or see a horse that's foundering or see, you know, that kind of stuff. Know that this horse needs to be shod at week 4 instead of week 6, you know, stuff like that. It's really become a lost art. And I think that's where we're getting away from, you know, the actual real reason why we all do this, because we love the horses. Right. They become our vehicles for success instead of our partners in victory. So, you know, I'd like to see that change. I'd also like to see, you know, I always, this is another thing, like for my generation, it's very social media based, right? I'll tell you right now, your reel's no good if you go out and get a 59%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's the real riders are riding. They're not taking pictures. So you got to make sure that you spend the time to do what's important to get the results you need in the ring.
Right.
And just kind of rework the focus. And like I said, through better education and more education opportunities, I think it's very attainable. Because it's only, you know, 15 years ago that that's how you had to do it.
Right.
Now it's become so different, but I think we could still turn, you know, make a right turn and get back on track.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of, yeah, what advice would you offer to those aspiring equestrian, more towards the entrepreneur side? Because, I mean, you're business owner now. And so that they're looking to pursue a career in horse services. So what?
There's three things I would tell young professionals getting into the sport. One, have a plan.
Yeah.
Have a plan with attainable goals. I like to break my life down into 5-year increments. So I'm at year 5 of my last 5-year plan, and it's gone exactly to plan, which is great. I know life isn't that way, but it could be.
And it goes
like this and down, and you know, you have to be able to redirect to make it to those goals.
Right.
So that's one. Have a plan with goals. Number two, don't settle for the gray areas in life. Life is black and white, especially in the horses. So create a standard of service or riding or horsemanship that is black and white. And don't settle for anything that is 80% of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really have to, you have to be definite on what you believe in for you and your horse and make sure that you see that through. Because if you don't, the only one that really suffers is the horse.
Right.
And then my third thing is don't take no for an answer. I don't get told no. It's not that I'm spoiled. It's that I don't accept that answer.
Right.
So if you want something, be definite about getting it. And then if you fall down, you get knocked down, but redirect and get back to where they're going to say yes to you. You know, it's like this PET thing is the perfect example. I've sent in like 6 applications.
Wow.
So, yeah, they get an email every day until I have my answer. And that's annoying to them. I don't really care. I need it. Yeah. So those would be my three things as far as, you know, telling young professionals how to go about their life. You know, and keep it about the horses first. And, you know, also cater to your clients, because at the end of the day, that's what makes this business a business.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we have a passion for environmental sustainability. And so I'm not sure if you implement any environmental sustainability measurements in your business itself, or do you have any advice or suggestions on how equestrians can?
So for that question, you mean environmental sustainability as far as like how I go day to day in my business, or like Wellington itself, this horse environment?
Like the entire, I mean, just sustainability in the fact of like, do you use anything for manure management? I know that's more towards the barn.
Yeah. So the facility handles that.
Right.
They're pretty good about it. I mean, Harry Knopp is fantastic about the way he does things with his operations. For me, you know, I don't really have a big carbon footprint.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, I mean, I drive my car. I'm
right.
Looking, I think my next car will be an electric car.
Oh, nice.
Because I do a lot of driving.
Local driving.
I mean, I rarely cross Southern Boulevard now, and I rarely get off the South Shore. So
an electric car.
Yeah, it would be fun.
And
so
park it at night, and then it would be good.
Exactly.
Drive too far, so it'd be
exactly. So you know, I just be conscious of it, and I think you know, we built this area of Wellington for it to be a horse first kind of community, and we need to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with everything that's going on with the new developments and the builders and stuff, I think, you know, change is good, but I think there needs to be a horse first mentality with everything that we do in this town, because that's what this town was created right. for. So the minute we start, you know, kind of polluting that, I think is a big issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's keep it clean for the planet and the horses.
Exactly.
So. Yeah,
exactly.
So what goals and aspirations, you were talking about the five-year plan.
Yeah.
So what are those five-year plan goals for the future of DeLuna Equine Services, and how do you envision contributing to the equestrian community itself?
So for the next 5 years, there's a couple goals. So I want to continue to expand Bianca's side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, create that kind of smaller boutique, high-quality training business. You know, and keep it fun. I think keep a fun atmosphere. Don't, as much as the horses are alive, take some time for ourselves, you know.
Right.
I think that's great. And then, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, I would really love to be able to give back to equestrian sports as a whole in the U.S. I look at like the Attaquan Global Dressage
right.
Festival, right? Why can't it be the DeLuna Global Dressage Festival?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that kind of stuff, I would like to build up enough to be able to create educational opportunities for young professionals in America. I think that as a nation, as a whole of equestrian sports in America, we are lacking in education,
right?
Fully. And it's like this nowhere else in the world. I mean, you go to Germany, right? Like Bianca had to do her full 3-year education as a German berider
mm-hmm.
to then get her license as a trainer. So that kind of stuff doesn't exist here. I think that's horrible. And I think ultimately that's what causes a lot of the horrible and terrible abuse that we've seen lately mm-hmm. in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of education.
Right.
There's a lack of education. There's a lack of necessary steps that you have to take in order to compete at certain levels. I mean, you could start riding and in 6 months you can do the Grand Prix. That's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what it takes to get a perfect 20-meter circle in training level. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff, there's no real regulation of levels ridden or education or who can and cannot be a trainer. I would love to be able to give back to U.S. Equestrian and, you know, its affiliates in that form to create better horsemen in this community and ultimately be able to provide facilities and shows and circuits for first and foremost dressage, because I love dressage, but also jumping and reining and barrel racing and all that kind of stuff that, you know, involves people that love horses. And
right.
I think in order for us to keep a horse industry, we need to better educate our horsemen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's very important. Education. That's where everything starts yeah. for sure.
Absolutely.
So where can our listeners find more information about you and your services?
Yeah. So we're on Facebook, DeLuna Equine Services. You can look me up on my personal Facebook, Michael DeLuna, or my wife, Bianca DeLuna. We're pretty active on there. And I kind of always say Facebook is like the newspaper for horse people.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, if you guys want to find us there, and all of our information is on
you
there.
You have an Instagram, right? Or
I do. It's my personal Instagram a little bit. It's Dr_Dolce. So it's another story for another time. But yeah, I mean, feel free to reach out to us. Like I said, you know, customer service is our number one. So nice. The phone's always on. I'm always available. And we hope to hear from you guys soon.
Great, Michael. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. We hope you enjoy it. Please remember to follow us, subscribe, and leave us a review. If you are interested in joining us as a guest or sponsor one of our episodes, feel free to email us at thehorsebusinesspodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram to get the latest updates. Goodbye.